I muse my Lord of Gloucester is not come. 'Tis not his wont to be the hindmost man, whate'er occasion keeps him from us now.
Can you not see, or will ye not observe, the strangeness of his altered countenance? With what a majesty he holds himself, how insolent of late he has become, how proud, how peremptory, and unlike himself. We know the time since he was mild and affable, and if we did but glance a far-off look, immediately he was upon his knee, that all the court admired him for submission. But meet him now, and be it in the morn when everyone will give the time of day, he knits his brow and shows an angry eye, and passeth by with stiff unbowed knee, disdaining duty that to us belongs. Small curs are not regarded when they grin, but great men tremble when the lion roars. And Humphrey is no little man in England. First note that he is near you in descent, and should you fall, he is the next will mount. Meseemeth then it is no policy, respecting what a rancorous mind he bears, and his advantage following your decease, that he should come about your royal person, or be admitted to your highness' council. By flattery hath he won the commons' hearts, and when he please to make commotion, 'tis to be feared they all will follow him. Now is the spring, and weeds are shallow-rooted. Suffer them now, and they'll o'ergrow the garden, and choke the herbs for want of husbandry. The reverent care I bear unto my lord made me collect these dangers in the duke. If it be fond, call it a woman's fear, which fear, if better reason can supplant, I will subscribe and say I wronged the duke. My lord of Suffolk, Buckingham, and York, reprove my allegations if you can, or else conclude my words effectual.
Well hath your highness seen into this duke. And had I first been put to speak my mind, I think I should have told your grace's tale. The Duchess, by his subornation upon my life, began her devilish practices. Smooth runs the water where the brook is deep, and in his simple show he harbors treason. The fox barks not when he would steal the lamb. No, no, my sovereign, Gloucester is a man unsounded yet and full of deep deceit.
Did he not, contrary to form of law, devise strange deaths for small offences done?
And did he not, in his protectorship, levy great sums of money through the realm? For soldiers' pay in France and never sent it, by means whereof the towns each day revolted.
Tut! These are petty faults to faults unknown, which time will bring to light in smooth Duke Humphrey.
My lords, at once. The care you have of us to mow down thorns that would annoy our foot is worthy praise, but, shall I speak my conscience, our kinsman Gloucester is as innocent from meaning treason to our royal person as is the sucking lamb or harmless dove. The Duke is virtuous, mild, and too well given to dream on evil or to work by downfall.
Oh, what's more dangerous than this fond defiance? Seems he a dove? His feathers are but borrowed, for he's disposed as the hateful raven. Is he a lamb? His skin is surely lent him, for he's inclined as is the ravenous wolves. Take heed, my lord. The welfare of us all hangs on the cutting short that fraudful man.
All help unto my gracious sovereign.
Welcome, Lord Somerset. What news from France?
That all your interest in those territories is utterly bereft you. All is lost.
Cold news, Lord Somerset. But God's will be done.
Cold news for me. For I had hope of France as firmly as I hope for fertile England. Thus are my blossoms blasted in the bud, and caterpillars eat my leaves away. But I will remedy this gear ere long, or sell my title for a glorious grave.
All happiness unto my lord the king.
Pardon my liege that I have stayed so long.
Nay, Gloucester, know that thou art come too soon, unless thou wert more loyal than thou art. I do arrest thee of high treason here.
Suffolk's Duke. Thou shalt not see me blush nor change my countenance for this arrest. The purest spring is not so free from mud as I am clear from treason to my sovereign. Who can accuse me? Wherein am I guilty?
It is thought, my lord, that you took bribes of France, and being protector, stayed the soldiers' pay by means whereof his highness hath lost France.
Is it but thought so? What are they that think it? I never robbed the soldiers of their pay, nor ever had one penny bribe from France. No! Many a pound of mine own proper store, because I would not tax the needy commons, have I dispersed it to the garrisons and never asked for restitution.
It serves you well, my lord, to say so much.
I say no more than truth, so help me God.
In your protectorship, you did devise strange tortures for offenders never heard of, that England was defamed by tyranny.
Why, it is well known that whilst I was protector, pity was all the fault that was in me. For I should melt at an offender's tears, and lowly words were ransom for their fault.
My lord, these faults are easy, quickly answered, but mightier crimes are laid unto your charge, whereof you cannot easily purge yourself.
What
I do arrest you in his highness' name, and here commit to my lord cardinal to keep until your further time of trial.
It is my special hope that you will clear yourself from all suspense. My conscience tells me you are innocent.
Our gracious lord, these days are dangerous. Virtue is choked with foul ambition, and charity chased hence by rancor's hand. Foul subornation is predominant, and equity exiles your highness' land. I know their complot is to have my life. And if my death might make this island happy and prove the period of their tyranny, I would expend it with all willingness. But mine is made the prologue to their play. For thousands more that yet suspect no peril will not conclude their plotted tragedy. Beaufort's red, sparkling eyes blab his heart's malice. And Suffolk's cloudy brow, his stormy hate, sharp Buckingham unburdens with his tongue the envious load that lies upon his heart, and dogged York, that reaches at the moon, whose overweening arm I have plucked back by false accused, doth level at my life. And you, my sovereign lady, with the rest, causeless have laid disgraces on my head, and with your best endeavor have stirred up my liefest liege to be mine enemy. I, all of you have laid your heads together. Myself had notice of your conventicles, and all to make away my guiltless life. I shall not want false witness to accuse me, nor store of treasons to augment my guilt. The ancient proverb will be well effected. A staff is quickly found to beat a dog.
My leech, his raging is intolerable.
He'll rest the sense and hold us here all day. Lord Cardinal, here's your prisoner.
Sirs, take away the Duke, and guard him sure.
Ah, thus King Henry throws away his crutch before his legs be firm to bear his body. Thus is the shepherd beaten from thy side, and wolves are gnarling who shall gnaw thee first. Ah, that my fear were false. Ah, that it were. For good King Henry, thy decay I fear.
My lords, What to your wisdom seemeth best, do or undo as if ourself were here?
What? Will your highness leave the parliament?
Aye, Margaret. My heart is drowned with grief, whose flood begins to flow within mine eyes. My body round engirt with misery, for what's more miserable than discontent? Ah, Uncle Humphrey, in thy face I see the map of honor, truth, and loyalty. What lowering star now envies thy estate that these great lords and Margaret our queen do seek subversion of thy harmless life? Thou never didst them wrong, nor no man wrong. And as the butcher takes away the calf and binds the wretch and beats it when it strains, bearing it to the bloody slaughterhouse, even so, remorseless, have they borne him hence. And as the dam runs lowing up and down, looking the way her harmless young one went and could do naught but wail her darling's loss, and so myself bewails good Gloucester's case with sad unhelpful tears and with dimmed eyes, look after him and cannot do him good, so mighty are his vowed enemies. His fortunes I will weep and twixt each groan say, who's a traitor? Gloucester, he is none.
Free lords, cold snow melts with the sun's hot beams. Henry, my lord, is cold in great affairs, too full of foolish pity. And Gloucester's show beguiles him, as the mournful crocodile with sorrow snares relenting passengers. Believe me, lords, were none more wise than I. And yet herein I judge mine own wit good. This Gloucester should be quickly rid the world, to rid us of the fear we have of him.
That he should die is worthy policy, but yet we want a colour for his death. 'Tis meet he be condemned by course of law.
In my mind, that were no policy. The king will labour still to save his life. The commons happily rise to save his life, and yet we have but trivial argument more than mistrust that shows him worthy death.
So that by this you would not have him die.
York, no man alive so fain as I.
Is York that hath more reason for his death. But my lord cardinal, and you, my lord of Suffolk, say as you think, and speak it from your souls. Were it not all one, an empty eagle were set to guard the chicken from the kite, as placed Duke Humphrey for the king's protector.
So the poor chicken should be sure of death.
That is true. And were it not madness, then, to make the fox surveyor of the fold? No, let him die in that he is a fox, by nature proved an enemy to the flock. And do not stand on quillets how to slay him, be it by gins, by snares, by subtlety, sleeping or waking, 'tis no matter how, so he be dead. For that is good deceit which makes him first that first intends deceit.
Thrice noble Suffolk, 'tis resolutely spoke.
Not resolute, except so much were done. For things are often spoke and seldom meant. But that my heart accordeth with my tongue, seeing the deed is meritorious, and to preserve my sovereign from his foe, say but the word, and I will be his priest.
But I would have him dead, my lord of Suffolk, ere you can take due orders for a priest. Say you consent and censure well the deed, and I'll provide his executioner. I tender so the safety of my liege.
Here is my hand. The deed is worthy doing.
And so say I.
And I. And now we three have spoken it. It skills not greatly. Who impugns our doom?
Great lords! From Arnhem I come amain to signify that rebels there are up and put the Englishman unto the sword. Send succors, lords, and stop the rage betime before the wound do grow uncurable, for being green there is great hope of help.
A breach that craves a quick expedient stop. What counsel give you in this weighty cause?
That Somerset be sent as regent thither. 'Tis meet that lucky ruler be employed. Witness the fortune he hath had in France. If York, with all his far-fetched policy, had been the regent there instead of me, he never would have stayed in France so long.
No!
not to lose it all as thou hast done. I rather would have lost my life betimes than bring a burden of dishonor home by staying there so long till all were lost. Show me one scar charactered on thy skin. Men's flesh preserved so whole do seldom win.
Nay, then. This spark will prove a raging fire if wind and fuel be brought to feed it with. No more, good York. Sweet Somerset, be still. Thy fortune, York, hadst thou been regent there, might happily have proved far worse than his. What?
Worse than naught? Nay, then a shame take all.
The number thee that wishes shame.
My lord of York, try what your fortune is. The uncivil kerns of Ireland are in arms and temper clay with blood of Englishmen. To Ireland will you lead a band of men collected choicely from each county some and try your hap against the Irishmen?
I will, my lord, and so please his majesty.
Why, our authority is his consent, and what we do establish he confirms. Then, noble York, take thou this task in hand.
I am content. Provide me soldiers, lords, whilst I take order for mine own affairs.
A charge, Lord York, that I will see performed. And now, return me to the false Duke Humphrey.
No more of him, for I will deal with him that henceforth he shall trouble us no more. And so, now break off. The day is almost spent.
Lord, you and I must talk of that event.
My Lord of Suffolk, within 14 days at Bristol, I expect my soldiers. For there, I'll ship them all for Ireland.
I'll see it truly done, my Lord of York.
Now, York, or never, steel thy fearful thoughts and change misdoubt into resolution. Be that thou hopest to be, or what thou art resigned to death that is not worthy enjoying. Let pale-faced fear keep with the mean-born man and find no harbor in a royal heart. Faster than springtime showers comes thought on thought, and not a thought but thinks on dignity. My brain, more busy than the laboring spider, weaves tedious snares to trap mine enemies. Well, nobles, well! 'Tis politically done to send me packing with an host of men. I fear me you've but warmed the starved snake who cherished in your breast will sting your hearts. 'Twas men I lacked, and you will give them me. I take it kindly, yet be well assured. You put sharp weapons in a madman's hands. Whilst I in Ireland nourish a mighty band, I will stir up in England some black storm shall blow 10,000 souls to heaven or hell. And this fell tempest shall not cease to rage until the golden circuit on my head, like to the glorious sun's transparent beams, do calm the fury of this mad-bred floor. And for a minister of my intent, I have seduced a headstrong Kentishman, John Cade of Ashford, to make commotion, as full well he can, under the title of John Mortimer. That devil here shall be my substitute. For that John Mortimer, which now is dead, in face, in gait, in speech, he doth resemble. By this, I shall perceive the commons' mind, how they affect the house and claim of York. Say that he be taken, racked and torture-red. I know no pain they can inflict upon him will make him say I moved him to these arms. Say that he thrive, as 'tis great like he will. Why then from Ireland come I with my strength and reap the harvest which that rascal sowed, for Humphrey being dead, as he shall be, and Henry put apart, the next for me
under my Lord of Suffolk. Let him know we have dispatched the Duke as he commanded.
I'll tell it where to do. What have we done? Didst ever hear a man so penitent?
Here comes my lord.
Now, sirs, have you dispatched this thing?
Aye, my good lord. He's dead.
Aye, that's well said. Get you to my house. I will reward you for this venturous deed. The king and all the peers are here at hand. Have you laid fair the bed? Is all things well, according as I gave directions?
She's handsome, my lord.
Away, be gone.
Go call our uncle to our presence straight. Say we intend to try his grace today. If he be guilty, as tis published.
I'll call him presently, my noble lord.
Lords, take your places. And I pray you all proceed no straighter against our uncle Gloucester than from true evidence of good esteem he be approved in practice culpable.
God forbid any malice should prevail that faultless may condemn a nobleman. Pray God he may acquit him of suspicion.
I thank thee, Meg. These words content me much. How now? Why look'st thou pale? Why tremblest thou? Where is our uncle? What's the matter, Suffolk?
Dead. In his bed, my lord. Gloucester is dead.
Marry, God forfend.
God's secret judgment. I did dream tonight the Duke was dumb and could not speak a word.
Affairs, my lord! Run, lords! The king is dead!
Bring him up! Bring him by the nose!
Go! Run! Help! Help! Oh, Henry, open thine eyes.
He doth revive again, madam. Be patient.
Heavenly God.
How fares my gracious lord?
Comfort, my sovereign. Gracious Henry, comfort.
What, doth my lord of Suffolk comfort me? Came he right now to sing a raven's note whose dismal tune bereft my vital powers? And thinks he that the chirping of a wren by crying comfort from a hollow breast can chase away the first conceived sound? Hide not thy poison with such sugared words. Lay not thy hands on me, forbear, I say, the touch affrights me as a serpent's sting. Oh, thou baleful messenger, out of my sight, look not upon me, for thine eyes are wounding. Yet do not go. Come, basilisk, and kill the innocent gazer with thy sight, for in the shade of death I shall find joy, in life but double death now Gloucester's dead.
Why do you rate my lord of Suffolk thus? Although the Duke was enemy to him, yet he most Christian-like laments his death. And for myself, a bit foe as he was to me, might liquid tears or heart-offending groans or blood-consuming sighs recall his life, I would be blind with weeping, sick with groans, look pale as primrose with blood-drinking sighs, and all to have the noble Duke alive. I mean, what know I how the world may deem of me? Well, it is known we were but hollow friends. It may be judged I made the Duke away. So shall my name with slander's tongue be wounded, and Prince's court be filled with my reproach. I mean, this get I by his death. Oh, me, unhappy to be a queen and crowned with infamy.
Oh, woe is me for Gloucester, wretched man.
Well, be woe for me, more wretched than he is. Or dost thou turn away and hide thy face? I am no loathsome leper. Look on me. What, art thou like the adder, waxen deaf? Be poisonous too and kill thy forlorn queen. Is all thy comfort shut in Gloucester's tomb? Why then, Dame Margaret was ne'er thy joy. Erect his statue and worship it. Make my image but an alehouse sign. Was I for this? Nigh wrecked upon the sea, and twice by awkward wind from England's bank, drove back again unto my native clime. What boded this? But well forewarning wind, it seemed to say. Seek not a scorpion's nest, nor set no footing on this unkind shore. And what did I then? But curse the gentle gusts, and he who loosed them forth their brazen caves, and bid them blow towards England's blessed shore, or turn our stem upon a dreadful rock. Yet Aeolus would not be a murderer, and left that hateful office unto thee. The pretty vaulting sea refused to drown me, knowing that thou wouldst have me drowned on shore with tears, as salt as sea through thy unkindness. The splitting rocks cowered in the sinking sands, and would not dash me with their ragged sides, because thy flinty heart, more hard than they, might in thy palace perish, Margaret! As far as I could ken thy chalky shores, when from thy shore the tempest beat us back, I stood upon the hatches in the storm, and when that dusty sky began to rob my earnest, gaping sight of thy land's view, I took a costly jewel from my neck, a heart it was, bound in with diamonds, and threw it towards thy shore. The sea received it, and so I wished thy body might my heart. And even with this, I lost fair England's view, and bid mine eyes be packing with my heart, and called them blind and dusty spectacles for losing ken of Albion's wished coast. How often have I tempted Suffolk's town, the agent of thy foul inconstancy, to sit and witch me, as Ascanius did when he to madding Dido would unfold his father's axe, commenced with burning Troy. Am I not witched like her, thou false like him? Ay me, I can no more. Die, Margaret! For Henry weeps that thou dost live so long.
It is reported, mighty sovereign, that good Duke Humphrey traitorously is murdered by Suffolk and the Cardinal Beaufort's means.
Aye.
Commons, like an angry hive of bees that want their leader, scatter up and down and care not who they sting in his revenge. Myself have calmed their spleenful mutiny until they hear the order of his death.
That he is dead, good Warwick, 'tis too true. But how he died, God knows, not Henry. Enter his chamber, view his breathless corpse, and comment then upon his sudden death.
What shall I do, my liege? Stay, Salisbury, with the rude multitude, till I return.
O thou that judgest all things, stay my thoughts. My thoughts that labor to persuade my soul some violent hands were laid on Humphrey's life. If my suspect be false, forgive me, God, for judgment only doth belong to thee.
Come hither, gracious sovereign. View this body.
That is to see how deep my grave is made. For with his soul fled all my worldly solace. For seeing him, I see my life in death.
As surely as my soul intends to live with that dread king that took our state upon him to free us from his father's wrathful curse, I do believe that violent hands were laid upon the life of this thrice-famed duke.
A dreadful oath. Sworn with a solemn tongue. What instance gives Lord Warwick for his vow?
See how his face is black and full of blood. His eyeballs further out than when he lived, staring full ghastly like a strangled man. His hair upreared,
his nostrils stretched with struggling, his hands abroad displayed as one that grasped and tugged for life and was by strength subdued.
Look, on the sheets, his hair, you see, is sticking. His well-proportioned beard made rough and rugged, like to the summer's corn by tempest lodged. It cannot be but he was murdered here. The least of all these signs were probable.
Why, Warwick, who should do the Duke to death? Myself and Beaufort had him in protection, and we, I hope, sir, are no murderers.
But both of you avowed Duke Humphrey's foes. And you, forsooth, sir, had the good Duke to keep. 'Tis like you would not feast him like a friend, and 'tis well seen he found an enemy.
Then you belike suspect these noblemen as guilty of Duke Humphrey's timeless death?
Who finds the heifer dead and bleeding fresh, and sees fast by a butcher with an axe, but will suspect 'twas he that made the slaughter? Who finds the partridge in the puttock's nest, but may imagine how the bird was dead, although the kite saw with unblooded beak?
Are you a butcher, Suffolk? Where's your knife? Is Beaufort termed a kite? Where are his talons?
I wear no knife to slaughter sleeping men. But here's a vengeful sword, rusted with ease, that shall be scoured in his rancorous heart that slanders me with murder's crimson badge. Say, if thou darest, proud lord of Warwickshire, that I am faulty in Duke Humphrey's death.
What dares not Warwick if false Suffolk dare him?
He dares not calm his contumelious spirit, nor cease to be an arrogant controller. Though Suffolk dare him 20,000 times.
Madam, be still! With reverence, may I say, for every word you speak in his behalf is slander to your royal dignity.
Blunt-witted lord, ignoble in demeanor. If ever lady wronged her lord so much, thy mother took into her blameful bed some stern, untutored churl, and noble stock was graft with Crabtree slip, whose fruit thou art, and never of the Neville's noble race.
But that the guilt of murder bucklers thee, and I should rob the deathsman of his fee, quitting thee thereby of 10,000 shames, and that my sovereign's presence makes me mild, I would, false, murderous coward, on thy knee make thee beg pardon for thy passed speech, and say it was thy mother that thou meant'st, that thou thyself was born in bastardy. And after all this fearful homage done, give thee thy hire and send thy soul to hell, pernicious bloodsucker of sleeping men!
Thou shalt be waking while I shed thy blood, if from this presence thou darest go with me!
Away even now, or I will drag thee hence! Unworthy though thou art, I'll cope with thee and do some service to Duke Humphrey's ghost!
What stronger breastplate than a heart untainted? Thrice is he armed that hath his quarrel just, and he but naked, though locked up in steel, whose conscience with injustice is corrupted.
What noise is this?
Why, how now, lords, your wrathful weapons drawn here in our presence, dare you be so bold?
The traitorous Warwick, with the men of Bury set all upon me, mighty sovereign.
Stand apart! The king shall know your mind.
Dread lord, the commons send you word by me. Unless false Suffolk straight be done to death, or banished fair England's territories, they will by violence tear him from your palace, and torture him with grievous, lingering death. They say by him the good Duke Humphrey died. They say in him they fear your highness' death, and mere instinct of love and loyalty makes them thus forward in his banishment. They say, in care of your most royal person, that if your highness should intend to sleep, and charge that no man should disturb your rest in pain of your dislike or pain of death, yet notwithstanding such a strait edict, were there a serpent seen with forked tongue that slyly glided towards your majesty, it were but necessary you were waked. And therefore do they cry, though you forbid, that they will guard you where you will or no from such fell serpents as false Suffolk is, with whose envenomed and fatal sting your loving uncle, 20 times his worth, they say, is shamefully bereft of life.
Answer from the king, my lord of Salisbury!
'Tis like the commons. Rude, unpolished hinds could send such message to their sovereign.
But you, my lord, were glad to be employed, to show how quaint an orator you are. But all the honor Salisbury hath won is that he was the Lord Ambassador sent from a sort of tinkers to the king.
Answer from the king! Oh, you all great king!
Go, Salisbury, and tell them all from me. I thank them for their tender loving care, and had I not been cited so by them, yet did I purpose as they do entreat. For sure, my thoughts do hourly prophesy mischance unto my state by Suffolk's means. And therefore, by his majesty, I swear, whose far unworthy deputy I am, he shall not breathe infection in his air but 3 days longer on the pain of death.
Oh, Henry. Let me plead for gentle Suffolk.
Ungentle queen, to call him gentle Suffolk. No more, I say, if thou dost plead for him, thou wilt but add increase unto my wrath. Had I but said, I would have kept my word, but when I swear, it is irrevocable. If after 3 days' space thou here be'st found on any ground that I am ruler of, the world shall not be ransom for thy life. Come, Warwick. Come, good Warwick. Go with me. I have great matters to impart to thee.
Mischance and sorrow go along with thee. Heart's discontent and sour affliction be playfellows to keep you company. There's two of you. The devil make a third. And threefold vengeance tend upon thy steps.
Cease, gentle queen, these execrations. And let thy Suffolk take his heavy leave.
Oh, fie, coward woman and soft-hearted wretch. Hast thou not spirit to curse thine enemy?
A plague upon them. Wherefore should I curse them? Would curses kill? As doth the mandrake's groan, I would invent as bitter, searching terms, as cursed, as harsh and horrible to hear, delivered strongly through my fixed teeth with full as many signs of deadly hate as lean-faced envy in her loathsome cave. My tongue should stumble in mine earnest words. Mine eyes should sparkle like the beaten flint. My hair be fixed an end, as one distract. Aye, every joint should seem to curse and ban. And even now my burdened heart would break should I not curse them. Poison be their drink! Gall! Worse than gall, the daintiest that they taste. Their softest shade, a grove of cypress trees. Their chiefest prospect, murdering basilisks. Their softest touch, as smart as lizard stings. Their music, frightful as the serpent's hiss. And boding screech owls make the consort full. All the foul terrors in dark-seated hell!
Enough, sweet Suffolk, thy torments thyself. And these dread curses, like sun against glass or like an overcharged gun, recoil and turn the force of them upon thyself.
You bade me ban. And will you bid me leave?
I entreat thee, cease. Oh, give me thy hand, that I may dew it with my mournful tears. Oh, could this kiss be printed in thy hand, that thou mightst think upon these by the seal, through whom thousand sighs are breathed for thee. So, get thee gone, that I may know my grief, for 'tis surmised while thou art standing by. I will repeal thee, or be well assured adventure to be banished myself. Oh, banished I am, if but from thee. No! Speak not to me. Even now. Be gone. And yet farewell. And farewell, life with thee.
Thus is poor Suffolk 10 times banished. Once by the king and 3 times thrice by thee. 'Tis not the land I care for, wert thou thence. A wilderness is populous enough, so Suffolk had thy heavenly company. For where thou art, there is the world itself with every several pleasure in the world. And where thou art not, desolation.
I can no more. Live thou to joy thy life.
Myself to joy in naught but that thou livest.
Whither goes Vaux so fast? What news, I prithee?
To signify unto his majesty that Cardinal Beaufort is at point of death. For suddenly a grievous sickness took him that makes him gasp and stare and grasp the air, blaspheming God and cursing men on earth. Sometimes he talks as if Duke Humphrey's ghost were by his side. Sometimes he calls the king and whispers to his pillow as to him the secrets of his overcharged soul. And I am sent to tell his majesty that even now he cries aloud for him.
Go, tell this heavy message to the king. Ay me. What is this world? What news are these? Now get thee hence. The king thou knowest is coming. If thou art found by me, thou art but dead.
If I depart from thee, I cannot live.
No.
And in thy sight to die, what were it else but like a pleasant slumber in thy lap? Oh. Here could I breathe my soul into the air as mild and gentle as the cradle babe dying with mother's dug between his lips. To die by thee were but to die in jest. From thee to die were torture more than death. Oh, let me stay. Befall what may befall.
Though parting be a fretful cause, it is applied to a deathful wound. To France, sweet Suffolk, let me hear from thee. For wheresoe'er thou art in this world's globe, I'll have an iris that shall find thee out. Away.
I go.
And take my heart with thee.
A jewel locked in the woefulst cask that ever did contain a thing of worth. Even as a splitted bark, so sunder we. This way fall I to death.
This way for me.
Affairs, my lord. Speak, Beaufort, to thy sovereign.
You live. Thou beast, death, I give thee England's treasure enough to purchase such another island. So thou wilt let me live and feel no pain.
Oh, what a sign it is of evil life where death's approach is seen so terrible.
Beaufort, it is thy sovereign speaks to thee.
Bring me unto my child when thou wilt. Died he not in his bed, where should he die? Can I make men live where they will or not? Torture me no more. I will confess. Alive again? Show me where he
Yes, I give £1,000 to look unhappy. He hath no eyes! The dust hath blinded them! Comb down his hair! Oh, look, look! It stands upright like lime twigs set to catch my winged soul! Give me some drink and bid the apothecary bring the strong poison that I bought.
O thou eternal mover of the heavens, look with a gentle eye upon this wretch. Beat away the busy meddling fiend that lays strong siege into this wretch's soul, and from his bosom purge this black despair.
See how the pangs of death do make him grin.
Disturb him not. Let him pass peaceably.
Peace to his soul, if God's good pleasure be. Lord Cardinal, if thou thinkst on heaven's bliss, hold up thy hand, make signal of thy hope. He dies and makes no sign. Oh, God forgive him.
So bad a death argues a monstrous life.
Forbear to judge, for we are sinners all. Close up his eyes, and draw the curtain close, and let us all to meditation.